spend maybe the next 40 minutes or so learning Torah for multiple reasons. First and foremost, I think Chazal and the Rishonim can definitely help us talk about inclusion in more important and insightful ways than I can. So I'd like to really frame my remarks through the perspective of Torah. I've obviously, compiled the sources and I try to present a certain perspective. But I'd really like the Torah to try to speak as much as it can for itself in this regard. And also, for the benefit of, all of you, I certainly can remember the feeling on Erev Shabbos of, I wouldn't say being taken out of the Beis Medrash, because what you guys are doing is just so vital in terms of being able to be effective in all of the, work that you just, thought about and reflected on together here. But I know that it is something, especially at this stage, when you guys are Roshechem Verubchem, as it should be in the Beis Medrash, that this should really be primarily a Torah experience. And, after that, just to open it up to questions and to discussions, as best as possible. So with that, to try to begin, in terms of the topic of hachlala or inclusion. What I'd like to try to do is to, as you see here in the title, reflect a little bit on what I perceive to be the mechayev. I think there really is a very specific kind of a mechayev, if we could try to identify it. The challenge, the etgar, which is a very real one, though a different kind of one, depending on who we're dealing with. Sometimes it could be just a challenge in terms of reaching people emotionally, and then sometimes it could be a halachic challenge about what the parameters of inclusion are. It's an important distinction to reflect on. We'll try to do that. And also the derech, I think there's a specific method that is I've settled on, and I'd like to try to use three instances from, the halachic corpus to try to lay a premise out before you, a kind of a thesis about how inclusion is perhaps optimally achieved. But that will be for, obviously, for you to evaluate in terms of whether that premise, can withstand scrutiny. So let's begin with, I think, a celebrated Gemara and Shabbos that you're all familiar with, but hopefully reframing it as part of a discussion about inclusion, it can be helpful to all of us. I think one of the pitfalls that we encounter when it comes to discussions of including people in our community is a very unhealthy proprietary sense, something to the effect of the Torah belongs, to us or to me. And, the question is, can I, should I, may I, share it with all of the people, who are halachically speaking a little bit more challenging for us to share it with, or something of that nature. And I can understand very well why we have that perspective, but I don't think that that is a helpful nor a healthy starting point. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos discusses the following. So what's a mortal doing here? Amr lam mekabel Torah ba. So of course it's the time for Kabbalah Satorah. This is in the section of Masechta Shabbos that deals with Kabbalah Satorah in general. Next week's parsha. So Amr Lefanav, Chem de Genuza Shegenuza Lecha Teisha Meos V'Shivin Arba Doros Kodem Shenivra HaOlam. Right, that literally created 974 generations. Torah is given the 26th generation of humanity. Atam Bevakesh Litna Lebasar V'Adam. You're going to include them, the mortals. Ma Enosh Kitis Kerenu Ven Adam Kitif Kedenu Hashem Adonenu. Let your glory remain in heaven, where it will remain unsoiled and unsullied by these mortals who are, spiritually speaking, so flawed. So Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hechzer Lahen Tshuva. So, Ashrei Misha Balachan V'Talmudo B'Yado. It's a lot of pressure to be able to answer. Pressure of, different kinds. Amr Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam Yisyareni Shema Yisrafuni Behevel Shepiem. So first, Moshe won a little bit of an insurance policy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Echo is Bekise Echvodi V'chazor Lehen Tshuva. So apparently that was a kind of a shield, against the Hevel PM Shel Malachi Ashares. So Amr Lefanav, Ribono Shalom, Torah Shatano Sein Li Mak Sivba, Anochi Hashem Bokech Hashar Tzichom Eretz Yitzrayim. Amr Lehen. So now Moshe turns to the Malach and he says, L'mitzrayim yiratem, very appropriate for our parshios. L'paro hishtabadtem, have you been enslaved and in bondage to Paro? Torah lama tehelachem, shuv maksivba, lo yelecha Elohim acharim, ben agayim atem shriyim, shovdim avodazara, shuv maksivba, zechores yom ha-shabbos l'kodesh, klum atem osim malacha, shatem srichem shvos, shuv maksivba, lo sisa masa matan yesh b'neichem, shuv maksivba, kabides avicha v'esimecha, avayim yesh lachem, shuv maksivba, lo tirtzach, lo tinaf, lo tignov, kina yesh b'neichem, yitzar hara yesh b'neichem, miad hodulu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, as Tehillim Mizmor Ches concludes, Hashem Adonenu Madir Shimcha Bechol Haaretz Ve'ilu Tnahotcha L'Shamayim Loksev. I think the import of this Gemara is far-reaching. Dehainu, what this Gemara is asking us to reflect on is that if our perspective is even in a small measure Tol Kisem Mibein Einacha, to quote the Gemara in Arachin, that, you know, who are you, you know, for us to try to share the Torah with you, you who, you know, force us to stay up late at night contemplating how we're going to integrate you into a community. So the response of Chazal would be, I think, Tol Kora Mibein Einechem. There is a legitimate question as to whether we should be entitled to be part of a Torah-based community. And if it wasn't for, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu in this very beautiful Agadata, right, maybe we would not have been. Maybe the fact that we all are highly flawed and imperfect, you know, may have been simply incompatible with the pristine nature of Torah. And yet we were included. And we were included specifically because Torah is designed, as we can see from this Gemara, for people who are, by definition, flawed. And it's meant to elevate us and to refine us, Imras Hashem Tzirufa. So again, as a nikudat pticha, as a point of departure, I think it's very important for us to think in terms of not of the Torah, you know, being ours and having the proprietary sense, but having a little bit of a sense of humility, that'll be the watchword for the day, that, you know, one could make a very legitimate argument, and the Malachi Asharis apparently did, that maybe, you know, we should not think in those terms, and including us in the Torah project is far from a davar pashut, and yet that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. And so, you know, we can be and try to be, I think, equally gracious. The Gemara Masechta Megillah, and this is now in the direction of Mechayev, this is just the second introductory source, and then we'll get into the second part of the Shiram. Rabbi Yochanan kol makom sha'atamotzei gvuraso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gdulaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, en samnuschalo shama atamotzei an v'sanuso. Davar zah kasav batara v'shanoi v'nevim v'shulosh b'ksuvim. Kasav batara ki Hashem lokechem hu alokei alokeim v'adonei ha'adonim k'siv basrei, osem mishpat yasom v'almana. Shanoi b'nevim kol amar ram v'nisa shel chenad v'kadosh, uksiv basrei v'es dika, in modern Hebrew the word dikaon means depression, the people who are low, suffering. Ushval ruach, mishulash baksuvim dechsiv, solu leroche baravos, beka shemo, ksiv basrei, avi yisomim, v'dayan almanos. So the Gemara Masechta Megillah points out that it is part of the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and implicitly, part of our responsibility, v'alachta b'drachav, this is Mefurish and Sota Yudalit, and Ksuvis Kof Yudalif, to be especially solicitous and inclusive of those you know, who are dekau shval ruach avi yisomim v'dayan almanos. Inclusion is something that is of deep, deep concern to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of course, by extension, v'halachta bidrachav, it has to be a very deep concern to us as well. This week's parsha, of course, we have the introduction of Amalek v'yavo Amalek v'yilachim im Yisrael b'refidim, and we would do well to reflect a little bit on the price that we pay when we fail to meet the standards of halachic inclusion. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Sadites Amud Beis Achos Lotan Timna Mahi Timna Mas Malachim Havi Dechsev Aluf Lotan Aluf Timna, the end of Parshas Vayishlach V'chol Aluf Malchusa Belo Sagahi. Any Aluf is basically a king without the kind of a formal title, that formal crown. Right, Hibaya Ligu, right? She wanted to come along and join up, whatever this meant prior to Matan Torah, with the you know, proto nascent Klal Yisrael. Basay Tel Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov V'lo Kiblua Halcha V'Haisa Pilegesh Lalifas B'Neisav Amra Mutav Teishiv Chalumazo V'lo Te Gvira Leuma Acheres. She wanted, even if she couldn't come in through the front door, proverbially, to come in through the back door. Nafok Mina Amalek Ditzarinu LiYisrael. So the price that we paid for exclusion was a terrible price, that our arch enemy, our historical nemesis, you know, Kimil Chamala Hashem Bamalek Midor Dor, was born out of inappropriate exclusion, Maitaima Dilo Ibayilahu Larachka. And this makor itself, I think, should give us great pause when we think about the danger. Sometimes we think about the dangers of inclusion. Ask everybody to contemplate a little bit the dangers of exclusion. Since we're on the topic of giur, it's not just the national risk that we pay, but since we are people who believe that a nefesh achas is an olam malay, I think everybody here is familiar. I'm not going to go through the Gemara inside, just in the interest of time, but everybody is familiar with the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph, where three prospective geirim came with superficially absurd requests in terms of wanting to join Klal Yisrael, whether it was, you know, Torah al Regel Achas, whether it was the idea, you know, of being Kohen Gadol, you know, and Shammai's response in all of the cases, or just, you know, a repudiation of Torah Sheh Baal Peh entirely, was described as Dechafo Ba'amas HaBinyan Shebiyado. He had no time to even contemplate including these people. And Hillel's response was always very wise, but is described by the Gemara, and this will really be the critical word. We already saw it in the Gemara Masechta Megillah. I think it is, in so many ways, the key to inclusion. An Visanuso Shel Hillel. Hillel included all of them, as we know. And I'll just read these last few lines of the Gemara when, you know, these Shlosha Elun is Damnu Lepundak Echad, so to speak. So they, when they all gathered together, they reflected. We literally would have lost our entire chelek in Klal Yisrael. It was Hillel's anivus. It's a strange word to use, but I think it's the defining word to use. It was Hillel's anivus, as I tried to allude to with the Gemara and Shabbos, that he didn't think somehow, you know, he was only the gatekeeper. Maybe in some ways he was the gatekeeper, but it was his basic sense of humility that drove him towards an inclusive mentality. An v'sanushal shel Hillel kerevtanu tachas kanfei hashchina. It's all well known to you. Just to get back to the national plane for a second, sort of going back and forth, the macro and the micro level, that Chazal, you know, looked at problems of exclusion. Up until now, we talked about giur. As potentially catastrophic, without any exaggeration. I'm not going to read inside, but the Gemara Masechta Gittin and Heyam Beis Nun Vav Amud Aleph. But the social exclusion, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and the inability of the rabbis who were there to project a more inclusive, orientation, or to put their foot down and say, to humiliate somebody in this way, to exclude him from, okay, it wasn't the most important event, wasn't as important as excluding somebody from Klal Yisrael in terms of Timna or the Shlosha Geirim from Masechta Shabbos, but it still was humiliating this person. So Chazal say, Akamtu bar kamtu charav Yerushalayim, ho vav yasvi rabbanan, velo michu bei shma mina kanichalahu. And, you know, if Chazal can say that excluding somebody inappropriately, you know, caused the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, you know, I don't think that we need to, you know, go any further than that in terms of describing, or nafak mina amalek, in terms of describing, you know, what the potential costs are. And just to, again, you know, show a different halachic source, a different context entirely, but the Rambam's, celebrated formulation in Hilchos Yamtif, really just based on the psukim, as the Magen Mishnah points out, about the critical nature of inclusion, especially when it comes to times of simcha, when we are with our families. Misha Noel Daltos Chatzero is a bolded section. Ve'ochal v'shosu v'ana v'ishto v'enomach l'mashke l'aniyim u'lamari nefesh, the people who are indigent, the people who, you know, from a socioeconomic point of view, are more easily excluded. And just the mari nefesh, they could be the wealthiest people in the world, but they've had hard lives, right? Afilo al-menuso shel melech, as we know from the Rambam in Deos. Einzo simchas mitzvah la simchas kreiso. Vel eila ne'amar zivcheim kelechamonim lahem kol ochav yitamu kol lachmam lenafsham, because lachmam lenafsham and not to others, right? We have very harsh words for them, as the Rambam does. V'simcha kazo kaloni lahem sh'ne'amar v'zeiresi peresh al p'neichem peresh chageichem. That is not a compliment. So clearly, the mechayiv, towards inclusion is a very, very powerful one. I think it's rooted in Ve'alachta V'drachav, as we talked about, based on the Gemara and Megillah. And I think it's also rooted in a sense of anivas, of not having an exaggerated or an unhealthy sense of Torah as being, you know, proprietary to us, but rather recognizing that people, or at least angels, could have said, Torah really doesn't belong amongst flawed mortals. And if Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his grace, shared Torah with us, that itself should be an impetus and a catalyst for us to try to open Torah and open our communities, and not be Noel Daltos Chatzero, Bifnei, the Aniyim, and the Mare Nefesh. Okay. Now, moving to a little bit of a more challenging part of the discussion, and we could talk about specific categories of individuals, I think especially in the question and answer. So I'm always grateful to Rabbi Rothwax, you know, for inviting me to give this year. We know that Talmud is mevili de masa in all areas, but just in terms of preparing, sort of giving myself the opportunity to reflect on these issues in as deep a way as I possibly can. So I'd like to basically give a certain thesis or premise based on three different sections of the Torah, three different halachic sections, about how we deal with halachic challenges of inclusion, individuals or groups of individuals where inclusion can present halachic challenges. And again, we can get more specific as we get into questions and answers. But right now, I just want to try to develop a kind of a paradigm. First, based on the sugya of Shiluach Tmeya Mina Machana, where we had to, as we'll see, it's a mitzvah to exclude certain people, whether it's from the Machane Shechina, Leviya, or Yisrael, or the parallel in Yerushalayim would be, you know, the Azara, Harabayas, and, you know, Kol Ha'ir. That's the first section. The second section will be Pesach Sheni, and then the third section will be Benos Slavchad. I think you can discern a very clear common denominator across these three halachic paradigms, in terms of how, what I called in the title, there's a certain method to inclusion. And I think that it maintains in all three of the cases, as best as I can tell. And I want to lay it out for your consideration. So first, the parasha of Shiluach Tmeyim. Again, the Torah, towards the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, tells us, V'yedabir Adonai Moshe le'mor, Tzavaz b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchu min ha'machana, kol tzarua v'cholza v'chol tamei l'nafesh, mizachar ha'nekeva tishalechu. According to some Rishonim, the Chizkuni notes, he thinks it applies to Ketanim, which is an amazing thing to try to envision, of, you know, let's say separating them from family, even. El michutz l'machanet z'shalchum v'lo yitamu es machanehem asher ani shochein b'socham v'yasu chein b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchu sam michutz l'machana kasher diber Adonai el Moshe keinasu b'nei Yisrael. The Ramban comments, v'yishalchu min ha'machana achar shehekim es ha'mishkan siva b'shilu achtmei min ha'machana it was absolutely necessary. The Hashras HaShchina was not achieved just in terms of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, but exclusion was necessary at various levels. Kol Tzarua V'Cholza V'Chol Tamei L'Nafesh V'Hi Mitzvah Noheges Miyad U'Ledoros. So obviously it's not immediately Shayach to us in Chutz La'aretz, but that is, you know, the Ramban is saying, an obligation, a spiritual obligation for the benefit of the community, for Hashra Shechina and the community to exclude certain individuals. It's absolutely necessary. I remember when I was, you know, about 17 years old, hearing Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal just give a sicha on this topic, and speaking about this, and just remember one line that he mentioned that sicha. Do we send them out, you know, as if we were celebrating and cheering it? Of course not. You know, there's a sense of having to do this, and it's Shevach to Klal Yisrael, Vayasu Chen Bnei Yisrael, that we did it, and according to Chazal, to the Tmeim themselves, who weren't Ma'akev, but it's a very painful thing to have to exclude. So the Gemara in Masach T'Psachim, Pehei Amid Beis, it's been on my mind a lot, in this context. So the Mishnah is talking about the problem, the psul yotze, the korban pasach, of an eiver shiyatza mikzaso, an eiver shiyatza chutz l'mechizaso. So the Gemara wants to know, like, what are the outer boundaries of kachim kalim, of korban pesach? What about the area, you know, above the Shaarei Yerushalayim? What about the chomos themselves? What about the chalonos? What about the area beneath the Shaarei Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says the following, hagufa kasha mart, minagaf lifnim kilifnim, hagaf atzmo kilichutz. Ema seifa minagaf lichutz kilichutz, hagaf atzmo kilifnim. That straight under, let's say, the doorways, right, is a little bit of a stira, whether it's considered inside, therefore not a problem of psul yotze, or the opposite. So, lokasha kan b'shari azara kan b'shari Yerushalayim. We're just talking about two different places. Why is shari Yerushalayim considered outside of the year? This is, I think, a remarkable line. Dam Reb Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak mibnei malu niskach v'shari Yerushalayim mibnei shemitzora'in meginim tachteim b'chama b'nei achama gishamim mipnei ha-gishamim. It's true. V'shalchu min ha-machaneh kol tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tamei l'nafesh. Badad yeshev michutz la-machaneh moshavo. They can't come into Yerushalayim. But we're willing to sacrifice an area which had the potential for Kedushas Yerushalayim, which, as we know, Lashitas HaRambam is really Kedushas HaShchina, Kedushas HaMikdash. We're willing to sacrifice that because we're concerned that the Mitzrayim should have a place when it rains and have a place when the sun's beating down on them. There's a balance. Vishalchu min ha-machana is a mitzvah miyad l'doros, kedei shetishra bo shechina, but the needs of these yechidim continue to resonate. There's a kind of a pshara here. We're willing, again, to concede on Kedushas Yerushalayim, which is a great value for the sake of these individuals. A second instance. Again, I think we'll discern, you know, the same basic pattern. This is the sugya of Pesach Sheni, a little bit later on in Parshas Bamidbar. It's interesting that all these cases, frankly, are in Bamidbar. If we had time, maybe more on that later. I think part of the story of Sefer Bamidbar is the challenge of trying to integrate the Kedusha of the Olam Moed with, you know, Bamidbar Sinai Be'Olam Moed, as the first Pasuk says. So not a surprise that all these things are here, really here. So we all know the story. Vayidaber Moshe al B'nei Yisrael la'asos ha-Pasach, vayasu ha-Pesach barishon, bi'arbas ar-yom la-chodesh ben arbayim b'Mibar Sinai, kechol asher tziva adnayas Moshe keinasu b'nei Yisrael. Vayi anashim, right? They're particular individuals, as the Gemara says, over and again, right? The tzibur can never be nidches. It's only the yechidim, ish ki atamei lanefesh. So vahi anashim ayu tmeim lanefesh adam velo yachol asus ha-pesach vayom ahu. Vayikrivu. They wanted to be included, right? Not vayavo, not vayolchu, but vayikrivu. They wanted to be closer. Lifnei Moshe, lifnei Aaron, vayom ahu. Vayom anashim ahim ha-ilav. Anachnu tmeim lanefesh adam. Lama nigara will feel diminished. The vilti hakriv, there's that word again. Es korban, the third time, Hashem bimoado besoch bnei Israel. So again, they feel, you know, the sting of exclusion. And the request is really threefold. They want to be able to bring the korban. They want to do it bimoado, yadal nisan, besoch bnei Israel. They want to be part of the defining korban of Klal Yisrael. It's not an accident that this is the mitzvah seish yesh bo kar. It's not an accident that the Mechilta says, v'chi agoritchem ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem, that an intrinsic part of becoming part of Klal Yisrael, the Havamina, is to bring, you know, the korban pesach. It's not an accident that zos chukas ha-pesach chol ben ne'yichar lo yochol bo, that a Yisrael meshumad, this is the defining halach of korban pesach, that a Yisrael meshumad can't participate. It's all about being a part of Klal Yisrael. So they have three aspects to their request. Let me bring the korban now, so we can bring the korban. Bimoado, on this date, b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Vayomer alehem Moshe, imdu ve'eshma'a, mayitzav ha'ashem lachem. So it's really fascinating. The movement in the psukim is vayikrivu, vayikrivu. They want to come closer. And Moshe says we have to investigate whether this is really halachically appropriate. And Moshe's use of the term imdu, sort of halting the momentum, is obviously a watchword for all of us. We all have to contemplate what the parameters are when individuals, where there are halachic challenges, legitimately, sincerely, earnestly wish to be included. So vayikrivu needs to be matched by an imdu, but also by an eshma'a, not a summary rejection, not an unwillingness to hear, not a dechafo be'amas habinyan shebiyado. So we all know the end of the story. I don't need to read it for you inside, which is that sometimes we portray it as, oh, they got what they wanted, you know, Megalgalin's chus al yedei zakai, they got to bring the korban pesach. But that's not actually really what happened. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you're not able to participate in the korban pesach now. It's not going to be bimoado, and it's not going to be besoch b'nei Yisrael. But you will get to bring the korban pesach. So just like we established by the Tmeim, the mitzvah of Shiluach Tmeim, there are certain things that we have to do, there are certain boundaries, but we're going to have a kind of a pshara where we can, the Sha'arei Yerushalayim. We see the same thing here. They didn't get everything that they wanted, but they got an element of it, that which was acceptable. But it wasn't besoch b'nei Yisrael, and it wasn't b'mo'ado either. A third halachic paradigm. And again, everybody has observed that these two parashios in the Torah, you know, Pesach Sheni and B'no Slavchad are, you know, inextricably linked. All the Lashonos are basically the same, from the Lama Nigara to Vatikravna. I think there are subtle differences as well, which are beyond our scope, but let's read the Psukim and let's talk about it. Vatikravna B'no Slavchad Ben Chever Ben Gilad Ben Macher Ben Menashe Le Mishpachos Menashe Ben Yosef Ve'lishmos B'no Sav Macha Noach Agla Milka V'tirtza V'tamodna. Interesting, here it's they, even though they're Vatikravna, they also have the Vatamodna. They seem to be maybe a little bit more calibrated than the Pesach Sheni people. It was Moshe who had to introduce that Imdu Veshma'a when it came to Pesach Sheni. Vatamodna, Lifnei Moshe, Lifnei Elazar, Akwein, Lifnei Azim, V'chol Eida, Pesach Olam, Oid Lemor, Avinu Meis, Bamidbar, V'lo Aya, B'soch Haida, No Adim, Lashem Badas Korach, V'cheto Meis, Banim halo hayu lo, lama yigarashim avinu mitoch mishpachto. There's clearly an aspect of ki b'rav la'achar misa here. It's extremely noble. Ki ein lo ben, tana lanu achuza, besoch achay avinu, and as Chazal note, clearly a chibas eretz Yisrael. And now, vayakrev Moshe es mishpatan lifnei Hashem. I think particularly because they introduced the element of a tamodna, it's not imdu veshma, mayitza veshem lachem, but it's vayakrev Moshe. Moshe actually brought this to Hashem for evaluation. A subtle difference for all of the similarities. Okay, so we know basically what the result was, and it's, I think, more nuanced than it's often portrayed, that indeed, you know, there is the concept, as the, you know, Torah goes on to introduce, you know, kolbas yoreshes nachala, you know, ish ki ein lo ben, so there is an opportunity for a bas to be Yoreshes Nachala, and Kain Benos Tzlavchad Dovros. But that is not the end of the story as far as the Chumash is concerned. In fact, the very last section, as you're all aware of, Sefer Bamidbar, you know, introduces the compromise, the Pshara element in this story, which is what's going to be with the Nachala of Menashe. Vayikruvu, same word, right? They're feeling perhaps a little bit excluded. What's going to be with our territorial integrity, with our nachla. Rashi avos mishpachas mishpachas bnei Gilad ben Machir ben Menashe mishpachos bnei Yosef vayidar b'lifnei Moshe b'nei Anisim, etc., etc. And we all know what the answer is: Cain mate bnei Yosef dovrim. Exactly the same words that were used previously: Cain benos tzlavchad dovros. Ze adavar asher tziva Hashem divnos tzlavchad lemor latov b'nehem tiyanel l'nashim ach l'mishpachas mate avihem. Tiana Linashem. We have to find a way of including the Benos Slavchad and their very sincere desire to honor their father's name, Lama Yigarashem Avinu, their clear Chibas Eretz Israel. But we also have to respect the needs of Shevet Menashe. Kein Benos Slavchad Dovros, Kein Matei Bnei Yosef Dovrim. So there's going to be a certain limitation that's imposed on them, which is the limitation of marrying within their tribe, right? You can imagine that, you know, for some people, this would have been, you know, a very difficult pill to swallow. But there are competing interests and there are balances that need to be struck between the needs of the tzibur and the needs of the yachid. But as you're all aware, the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chav, Zeh HaDavar, right, darshins that it was only noheg for that particular door in terms of the restriction on marriage. And the Ramban explains that this is kind of a pshara within a pshara. This is the Ramban you have in the 16th source. If anybody wants to look at it inside, I'll just read two lines. That the Ramban says, you know, this is all about finding an appropriate halachic compromise for those who wish to be included. And it makes perfect sense, be'ez chilak ha'aretz, in that door, the door shenichnas la'aretz, when the territorial integrity is first being established, that the bas yoreshes nachala shouldn't be mafir nachala to a mate acher. I'll just read the bolded section of the Ramban towards the end. This is the 16th source. Be'ez chilak ha'aretz kach so nachla besoch mate acher ki hakpad alahem tia yoser gedola be'ez chilak shalis arvo shvatim zayim zeh benachla ki achreichin kvar noda nachla san v'lo yakpidu kol kach. In other words, Ramban is saying it is a pretty draconian restriction to tell somebody they can only marry within their own shevet. So there was a very subtle pshara within a pshara that zeh davar, davar zeh lo yanoeg ela bedor hazeh, that we want to include the bas yoreshes nachala. We're very concerned about what that will do b'shas chilak ha'aretz, the territorial integrity of particular shvatim, and therefore a compromise is needed for that generation Kain matei b'nei Yosef dovrim. Tzad hashava shebehen. Whether it's the shiluach tmei min ha-machane, whether it's Pesach Sheni, whether it's the story of Benos Lafchad, is that there are very legitimate needs of inclusion that have to be balanced with halachic considerations, whether those halachic considerations are tuma in the machana, whether those halachic considerations are tuma in Korban Pesach, whether those considerations are choshen mishpat, you know, chukas mishpat type considerations of Yerusha, it's critically important that balances be struck. I think that's clearly the thread that runs through all three. And we shouldn't be surprised. The Rambam, again, this is the Sugya in Sanhedrin, Davav, Dav Zayin, you know, when it talks about, there's a Shita, of course, Shita of Reb Lazar, Reb Yehuda, that, you know, Asur Livtza, you know, Botzea Birech Nietz Hashem, but we paskin, Reb Yeshua ben Korcha, many others, that Pshara is really the ideal. Not just for reasons of Shalom, but maybe even because it's the greater MS. In some respects, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin famously says, Mitzvah Lomar Labalei Dinin Batchila, B'din atam rotim o b'shara. It's interesting. The Meiri, in his commentary on Sanhedrin, says literally every single day, if the, you know, Din Torah would go on for multiple days, you have to be poseach b'pshara. The Sma, Choshen Mishpat, talks about how Dayanim have to basically, you know, do everything in their power to try to convince them, you know, that pshara is the way to go. And the Rambam has this great line here, V'chol bezdin shos pshara tamid hareza mishubach. V'alav namar mishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem, Ezo mishpat sheishi moshalim haviyomer zebitzua. So compromise is not a dirty word in halacha. Compromise is actually something that is mishubach, and kol bezdin shos in pshara tamid hareza mishubach. I just want to conclude my remarks here before opening it up. I'm sure people have specific questions about particular groups with when we hit those outer boundaries of inclusion. And it may feel, you know, in certain cases that pshara as a method for inclusion is insufficient. There are some times that we're just not able to really satisfy the people who are involved, especially as it comes to, you know, communal roles. And we could talk about that in very specific terms. But I do want to sort of reflect on something that I find personally very meaningful, which is that even if we'll have to take a pretty firm position with respect to the limits of inclusion where there are halachic challenges, I'm obviously not talking about the Ger Yasam and Almana, you know, where, you know, again, the challenges are just to make people feel as welcome as possible and never to be chas v'shalom, noel daltos chatzero, etc. But where there are other halachic challenges, to remind people that the most important parts of our spiritual experience really are open to everybody. You know, the Mishnah says in Avos, as we all know, al shloshet dvarim olam omed, al Torah avoda gemilos chasadim. And what's so striking to me about those three areas is how egalitarian they truly are. The Pasuk, we all know, Torah Tzivolanu Moshe, Morasha, you know, Kilas Yaakov, which is, according to Gemara Masech Tesukah, the first Pasuk we teach our children, amazingly, even before Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Dvarim Rabba says that was the hesped that Klal Yisrael gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, that this was his lasting legacy. Morasha Kilas Yaakov teaches us, Kalamonei Halacha Mipi Talmud Kilu Gozel Minachalas Avosav. Right, that we have no right to claim, you know, proprietary ownership, you know, over the Torah in an unhealthy way. Yeah, you know, Morashi Lachem, V'lo L'Nachri, Sanhedrin Nuntes, Mu'urasa, Morasha, Gezel, Giloy Rez. But even for them, in the Sheva Mitzvos, if they're Osek, it's Gadol Mi, you know, Kohen Gadol. And within the fraternity of Klal Yisrael, even if somebody's not going to be eligible to be the rabbi, or is not going to be eligible for maybe other positions, the point is, Torah is and must be available to them. You know, the famous Rashi, towards the end of Sefer Dvarim, the happiest day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, you know, V'lo nasan lachem Hashem lev ladas, yinayim leros yisnayim leshmoa, ada yom hazeh. So Rashi quotes, it's just so beautiful. You read it every time, and it brings a smile to all of our faces. That when Moshe wrote the Torah and he handed it over to Shevet Levi, and the Jewish people said, you know, what's going on here? You know, Rav Lachem b'nei Levi, who said that you guys own the Torah? And Samach Moshe l'adavar, al zos amar lahem ayom hazeh yeslam, ayom hazeh hivanti, she'atem dveikim v'chaveitzim b'makom. That all of the Shiftei Ka, and all of the individuals within the Shiftei Ka, really have access to Torah. I don't need to tell you, even somebody who's not going to be eligible for the Keser Malchus, and he's not going to be eligible, like that Ger that Hillel met for the Keser Kuhuna, we all know the words of the Rambam, the stirring words, Keser Torah is a munach v'omed u'muchan kol misha rotze yavo v'yitol. That's in terms of Torah. And also in terms of Gemilas Chasadim, the Chesed Olam Yibana, the Gemara Masech the Sukkah tells us, maybe not everybody can give tzedakah, at least not in very large quantities, you know, ain't the money, not tzedakah, lachas, everybody has to give some tzedakah. But in terms of Gemilas Chasadim, it's bein be'aniyim, bein be'ashirim, bein be'gufo, bein be'mamono, bein be'chayim, bein lamesim, and to encourage people who may be feeling excluded from certain roles or certain positions, especially public or communal positions, that just as Torah, which is the greatest point of bonding that we can have with our Creator, is Omer Umuchan Kol Misharotze Yavo V'Yitol, the same is true of Gemilos Chasadim, right? That they can participate in this, and what could be a greater spiritual experience than that? I remind all of you of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, Kol Mi She'yesh Biyado Torah V'Ein Biyado Gemilos Chasadim K'mi She'ein Lo Eloha. It's an intrinsic part of our Avodas Hashem in the strongest possible terms. And of course, that third leg of the axiological triad here, which of course is Tefillah, Avodah, the Ula Avda B'chol El Vavchem, the Avodah Shebalev, Hashem is accessible. Karov Adonai L'chol Karav L'chol Asher Yikra'u V'emes, as long as the Mitzvah explains, as long as a person is authentic, as long as a person is honest with Hashem, Hashem wants nothing more than to hear their Tefillos. And I do think that this is an extremely important point for us to believe, and if we believe it, to try to disseminate that the most important spiritual experiences of all, the most important things that we should wish to be included in, Torah, Avodah, Gemilos, Chasadim, are so fundamentally egalitarian. Omed, Umunach, Muchan, Kol Mi She'rotze, Yavo, V'yitol, Mamzer, Talmid Chacham, Kodem, Lekohen Gadol, Ha'aretz, isn't just an isolated halacha. To me, it's like a worldview. So just to summarize, you know, what we talked about, there are enormous consequences towards exclusion. Chazal talked about Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Chazal talked about the emergence of Amalek. Chazal talked about losing your mitzvah of Simchas Yantif if you're Noel Daltos Chatzero, obviously in a non-pandemic situation. We talked about the Mechayiv both being a measure of Yalachta V'drachav as well as a sense of anivus, of not believing that somehow the Torah is mine and, you know, I'll decide who to share it with. Remember what the Malachi Hashareis had to say about that. You know, it would be very easy for people to say maybe we're not so deserving ourselves, and having a measure of humility in that regard. After all, it was Anvisanuso Shel Hillel that was Mekarev those three souls, Tachas, Kanfei Ashchina. In the three halachic paradigms that we discussed, Shiluach Tmeim, Pesach Sheni, as well as the Benos Slavchad, there had to be a balance in all three cases, right? Whether it was conceding the Kedusha of the Shari Yushalayim, while still being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shiluach Tmeim, Mitzvah Miyad Ledoros, as the Ramban says, whether it was saying, yeah, you'll bring the Korban Pesach, but it's not going to be B'moado, and it's not going to be B'soch B'nei Yisrael, Ish Nidchal Pesach Sheni V'ein Sibor Nidachin, and whether it was Cain, B'nos Slavcha Dovros, Cain Matei B'nei Yosef Dovrim, paying attention to striking that careful balance as the appropriate method for inclusion, where inclusion is possible. And finally, when we hit those outer boundaries and we're just not able to include any further, to remind ourselves and to remind people, the most important thing in the world is not to be a rabbi, is not to be the Shliach Tzibur, is not to be, you know, recognized in any public setting, but the ballast of our spiritual existence, of our Avodas Hashem, Torah Avodah Gemilos Chasadim. You can't have a more egalitarian statement than Karav Hashem L'chol Karav L'chol Asher Yikru'u V'emes, Ki Beis Ti Beis Tfilah Yikari L'chol Ha'amim, right? Gemilos Chasadim is open to the entire world to engage in. You don't have to have a penny to your name to engage in Torah. Reza Munach V'omed U'muchan Kol Mi She'rotze Yavo V'yitol. I just wanted to conclude with a vignette from the Rav, and then just to open it up at this point to discuss the Rav's 20th Yortzeit. So his daughter, his eldest child, Dr. Atara Twersky, Rav Twersky Shlita's mother, and she should be well, spoke in memory of her father. And just shared the following that I think about very, very often when it comes to the outer boundaries, of halachic inclusion. In 1967, many of you, I'm sure, know, was a year of triple avelos for the Rav. His mother passed away, his wife passed away, and his brother, who's a professor of chemistry at Yeshiva University, passed away as well. The Rav wrote and spoke about that very often. So the Rav's wife died on Tanis Esther, so in the months leading up to it, this time of year, the Rav is basically just like living in Massachusetts General Hospital, where his wife was being treated for cancer. And somebody had an urgent halachic dilemma touching on this area. They needed to come see the Rav, and the Rav basically said, look, I can't leave the hospital, but if you come to the hospital, we can find a place to sit and talk. The person came and consulted with the Rav, and the Rav then, bid the person farewell and returned to his wife's bedside and asked his daughter to please walk the person, out of the hospital in Derech Eretz, and he wanted to get back to his wife. So Dr. Twersky related in this address, this Yahrzeit address, that the man kept on saying to himself as they were, like he was in a trance, like leaving the hospital, your father is a remarkable man. Your father is a remarkable man. He just kept on saying that. And so when she came back to her mother's room, so she said to her father, you must have had a real solution for him. Like, what solution? The Rav looked at his daughter and said, there was no acceptable halachic solution to the dilemma. And then, as Dr. Twersky said, in that Yahrzeit address, she recognized an aspect of her father's godless. That even while saying that there was simply no viable solution, he had made this person feel not just heard, but there was an aspect of no se ba'ol, I can't say im chavero if I'm talking about the Rav, but no se ba'ol im, achenu, b'nei Yisrael, that made the person feel that there was something about their burden that had been azov tazov imo, let's put it that way. And I think that, for all of us, especially when we hit those outer boundaries, we have to try to find it within ourselves, not just not to be dechafo b'amas abinyan shebiyado, but ad kama shefshar, to the greatest extent of our ability, to really put ourselves as much as we can, ad shetagyelim komo, in that person's shoes, and to give them the time, the emotional energy, not to see it as a burden for us that they came with this, how they're pushing the halachic, boundaries, but to really try to sympathize as best we can. I don't know that I'm quite sure that I won't have anybody walking away from such a meeting with me saying what the person said about the Rav, but it's an aspiration. It's an aspiration for all of us. So with that, I'd like to conclude my remarks here with gratitude to Rabbi Rothwex and Dr. Blumenthal and open it up for any discussion.